The African Union kicks off its 27th annual Heads of State Summit Sunday in Rwanda. The most anticipated item on the agenda may be the election of a new chairperson. From Nairobi, VOA's Jill Craig has more. As African heads of state meet amid the rolling hills of Kigali, the biggest item on the agenda will be the selection of the next AU Commission chairperson, the successor to Dr. Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma of South Africa. Zuma will be stepping down after holding the position for the last 4 years. Alyssa Jobson is the advisor on African Union relations for the International Crisis Group.
I think it's important to stress that who leads the African Union Commission matters, and it matters immensely. The chairperson is responsible for shaping the continent's economic, political, and security agendas. And so it's really key that they have the best candidate possible in this job.
There are three candidates. Two are current foreign ministers, one from Botswana and the other from Equatorial Guinea. The third candidate is Uganda's former vice president and a former UN special envoy for HIV/AIDS in Africa. But J. Peter Pham, the director of the Washington-based Africa Center at the Atlantic Council, cautions that Dlamini Zuma's successor may not come out of this summit, since a two-thirds majority vote is required.
This time around, with three relatively unknown candidates, it might well be the case that two-thirds majority is not achieved, and there's additional campaigning, and the possibility that other candidates might throw their hats in the ring.
But the leadership turnover doesn't stop there. A new deputy chairperson and eight commissioners of the AU will also be selected, according to Monde Moyangwa, director of the Africa program at the Wilson Center.
So you have a huge leadership transition occurring at the African Union. And so this is really going to determine which way does the African Union go.
The 54-nation bloc will be issuing its first e-passports, which will go to AU heads of state, permanent representatives of these states, and ministers of foreign affairs as part of a pilot program. The goal of the new passport is to ease restrictions in the movements of people, goods, and services across national lines.
Which is a step, at least symbolically, in the direction of a closer union, a Pan-African identity. But the reality is that despite those aspirations and those ambitions, it's not the want of passports that causes Africans not to travel to each other's countries and to trade and do business with each other. It's the lack of transportation infrastructure that makes that. A passport won't do you any good if you don't have a road that will get you from one place to another, or you don't have customs officials and customs clearinghouses to expedite the passage of goods.
Moyangwa expresses a bit more optimism.
I have been encouraged by the discussion on the benefits of this e-passport at the highest levels in Africa. So hopefully this is something that you're going to get more and more countries signing up to and hopefully becoming a reality in the next few years.
Back in January, an AU ministerial committee was asked to draw up a strategy on the International Criminal Court, giving special consideration to whether AU member countries should leave. The committee said that in order to prevent an African withdrawal from the court, the ICC should grant immunity from prosecution to sitting heads of state and other senior officials. That demand is at odds with many human rights activists, who say it would undermine the effectiveness of the court. Elise Kepler is the associate director of the International Justice Program at Human Rights Watch.
Now, whether or not the conclusions and assessments of that committee are going to be considered at this AU summit is not clear, although it's important to note that we have seen again and again in the past few years that the issue of the ICC and AU attacks on the ICC regularly comes up very last minute, sometimes on the floor of the debate at the African Union summit. So, you know, really, we don't know for sure now, but anything is possible.
Pham doesn't believe the ICC issue will become a priority at this particular summit, because no sitting head of state other than President Omar al-Bashir of Sudan is under threat. Although he says in the long term, the issue will be important.
In many respects, the collapse of the ICC case against the president of Kenya, in a way, took a bit of the urgency out of the African threat to withdraw from the ICC.
South Sudan will likely be discussed. HRW's Kepler says the AU was tasked in the 2015 peace agreement to establish a hybrid court to prosecute crimes committed during the conflict, because the country is not a part of the ICC.
And we've been looking to the African Union Commission to get this process off the ground. I think a great outcome from the summit would be to see that there is encouragement for more progress.
Last month, South Sudan's leadership called on the international community to reconsider setting up that tribunal in an op-ed published in the New York Times. The AU summit opens July 10th and culminates with the heads of state meeting on the 17th and 18th. Jill Craig, VOA News, Nairobi.